Oh, let's get after this. Well, it's a great day to be in church. Amen. God is good. Do you believe that? Has he been good to you? God is so good, man. Well, today we're going to be talking about something interesting. We're talking about trading. And this morning, the title of my message is The Trading Game. Anybody in this room, you ever traded anything with anybody?
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like trading stuff. I like the barter system. Anybody else? It can get exciting sometimes. You'll never know. And there's different types of trades. Y'all know I love hockey, and so this is the off season, we'll call it. And so there's a lot of trading happening amongst the teams and a lot of things. And if you stay tuned to social media or just ask my boy Benjamin, he'll tell you what trades are happening. Ben is on it all the time, watching all the trades. And so, you know, a part of this trading that takes place in sports is to try and for betterment of the team. You know, it's like, oh, well, we had a system last year and we had these players, but they didn't really gel. So let's move them around. Let's trade them around a little bit. You know, I'm still bitter from last year, what took place with my beloved Boston Bruins. They traded too much. And it hurts. That's all right. Brad Marchand still won a cup, even though he was wearing, settle down. Even though he was wearing a different jersey. But, you know, that's my guy. I like him. But I just can't cheer for Florida. I just can't do it. What are those sun soaker uppers doing playing hockey? I mean, don't they know you need to have at least like 8 inches of snow in order to be a hockey fan? Like, what's going on, right? But you know what? They made trades to try and do betterment. And you follow along, I see Toronto Maple Leafs this season's already traded a little bit there. So we'll see. I mean, it could be your year, like it has been for the last 60 what? But I mean, it could happen. I mean, listen, I'll give it to the Toronto fans. They are crazy. I mean, steadfast. They are steadfast, that's for sure. And I admire that, you know. But I read one time that the sign of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm joking. Not really. But Toronto fans, we're praying for you, and the Bruins fans. We're rebuilding. We have a 25-year plan. All right. But back to the trading. The reason that they trade is for betterment. They try to get better. A while ago, I was watching this young lady on social media, and she traded a paperclip. It started off with a paperclip and worked her way up to a house. That's pretty cool, huh? I mean, through a bunch of different trades, and, you know, it was a bit of a social experiment to see what took place. And, I mean, I followed her along, and some of the stuff that she got was just wild. And actually, a few years ago, there was actually a television program produced about doing the same thing. A guy started off with something little, and he kept continuing on trading up and trading up till he got what he wanted, you know? And so, I mean, one little paperclip, I mean, it doesn't seem like much, but it worked its way up to a house. And I remember the day that she made the announcement that she got this house, and it was a cute little house. I was like, that's pretty cool. So who wants to trade a paperclip for a house right now? I got a beautiful limited edition yellow paperclip. Who wants a paperclip? Who got something to trade? A cardboard house. I mean, this one's special. It's been on TV now, see? Celebrity. This is a celebrity paperclip. It's literally been in front of dozens of people. Yeah, I'll get that joke later. All right. I'll keep it and let it gain its, whatever you call it, fame. All right. Turn over your Bibles to Psalms chapter 30. Psalms chapter 30, verse 11 and 12, New Living Translation. And it says, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. Just not regular dancing. Joyful dancing. Woo! What's joyful dancing look like, I wonder? Anybody know what joyful dancing looks like? Pastor Ken, show us some joyful. Oh, there it is. Yay. Man can move. Pastor Ken can move like Mick Jagger, man. I guarantee it. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. What's joy like? What does joy sound like, guys? See, there's a bunch of happy people over here. I'm going to preach to this group because this group really needs a little bit more joy, I'm feeling. You know? Now, we can try it again so we can even it out. So what does joy sound like? Yeah, that's a little better. They still need extra prayer, so we're going to work with that. Okay. All right. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I give you thanks once in a while.
Forever.
Forever. Our God is someone who likes to trade also. He likes to take away our grossness and give us something so much better. And like we sang in that song, the different things that he took away, that he traded for us. Come on now. You know what? I'll take away your depression. I'll give you joy. Wow. That sounds good. I'll take away your lack and give you blessing. I like that. Man, I'll take away you being in fear and being scared, and I'm going to give you peace. Oh boy, that sounds pretty good to me. That sounds better than a paperclip than a house. Yeah, no, it is. It is. It definitely is. Man, that's my king. That's our God. He just loves us so much that he wants to trade those things around. So let's dissect it. Let's break this scripture verse down a little bit. So you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. How many of you have dealt with grief in here? I'm sure every one of us have gone through a sad time, a loss of a loved one or a loss of something. It's no fun at all now, is it? No, I know just recently people have lost some loved ones. And honestly, you know, it's tough. I know my family, we faced our fair share of loss. And I mean, it's tough when there's someone you're really close to that passes on, you know, and it sticks with you. And sometimes you wonder, how am I going to get through it? You know, how am I going to get through this? You ever been there? You ever felt like that? You know, there might be a situation that, this is tough. Man, this is, I don't know how I'm going to get through this problem right now. You know, the bank might say something to you. You might have some issues with a relationship or something. Or, you know, you might have lost your job. You know, loss and grief comes in different ways, you know. And it's like, wow, what am I going to do here? Well, the thing is, a lot of times we try and reason things out on our own and try and find our own way and our own strength to get through them. But let me tell you something, guys. That don't necessarily work. Because we find ourselves wallowing in self-pity sometimes, and we get into a hole, into a spiral, and start going down the tubes, and things, you know, can get a lot worse by our own doing, you know? And then we're wondering, why, God, why? You know? Well, how about we allow God to do something for us instead of us trying to figure out how to do it? Because ultimately, our God is the God of turning around, of changing things up. And so if we actually turn to him and see what he says and what he's done in his word, what he's done for us. So even in our passage of scripture here that we're looking at, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You don't always feel like dancing when you're sad now, do you? You don't always feel like being happy when things are going wrong. But this is where we are faith people and we do it anyhow. Sometimes we got to turn it around. We got to change our confession. We got to change to what we think. You know, our actions, it's not easy. And nowhere in Scripture does it say it's easy. You have to do the work. You have to put it on. You have to do it. But let me tell you something. It works. It works. Because you can feel sad or full of anxiety or fear or depressed or whatever it might be. But let me tell you, I can guarantee it, it works because I've been there. Because there's days when you don't feel like getting out of bed, but you get up anyhow. And you thank the Lord. Remember that song that we used to sing in Sunday school and church years ago, Count Your Blessings? You know? Count them many blessings, name them one by one. Well, sometimes you got to do that because there are days in my life when I start doing that, you know, and I start counting my blessings. Start thinking about my wife and the kids and our house and the different things and, you know, the things that God's blessed us with and health and, you know, the blessings that Daddy looks after us, the family, friends, all those things. And you start, and all of a sudden the situation don't seem so bad now. Because wait a minute, God is still working on my behalf. So even though this situation right now might not seem so nice, God has still got me. And this is just another little fork in the road, a little turning point or whatever, a little bump. But you know what? God's going to get me through it. Because like we sang earlier, he turned water, seas, into highways. Yeah, I mean, you ever tried cross water? I mean, if you want to go across Lake Superior, you're not going to technically try and cross right through it in your car. Unless it's a submarine. You know? Because like, let me tell you something. That's a lot of water there, and it's really wet, and it's deep. You know? I remember one time as a young boy, I was in my mid-teens or whatever, and I was for a trip in the woods, in the bush, with my dad and one of his friends, in this old Chevy Tracker that he had purchased for going off-road, going moose hunting. And so we were going into this place in this Tracker. Y'all know what I'm talking about, Chevy Tracker, Suzuki Sidekick type thing, you know? I mean, four guys could pick it up and turn it around. I mean, they're so small, right? So here we are. We pile into this thing, and we're going through the bush. And I remember we come through this little bit of a river crossing. And it's like, okay, fine and dandy, let's do it. I mean, my dad's an adventurous guy. I mean, so we start going through that. So I'm sat in the back seat. Dad and Dale are in the front. And then someone was there, and they had brush all cut and had some sticks and stuff all put up there and all that. So we started going through. So when we started going through it, well, the water was a little bit deeper and a little bit faster than what we were expecting. But nonetheless, when in doubt, you throttle it out. And Craig got us through it. But also through it, we had brushes coming through the cab. Up through the cab where I was sitting. You remember that, Skipper? Now we have a holy car. And it's not quite as watertight as we were expecting. My douche got wet because of that, you know? But I mean, we got through it. Lots of laughs afterwards. Makes for a good sermon illustration, you know? The poor Tracker was never the same again. We didn't get a moose that day. But we got extra ventilation in the SUV. Yeah. But you see, there was a lot of water, and we crossed through it. I mean, that was only a little bit. But when you open up an ocean, when you open up a sea, so that thousands, millions of people can walk through on dry land, come on, that's something to be excited about. Can you imagine being there and you're standing at the edge of the water and looking at this and be like, how are we getting across? And you know that there's an army behind you that's coming, and all they want to do is rip your head off. They want to enslave you and bring you back to where you came from. I mean, that could be a bit of a moment there where you can be stressed out a little bit. You can be sad a little bit there. You can be perturbed just a little bit. I think you have the right. But you see, when you stop and you know what Moses did? Moses prayed to God. And God gave him some instruction. And he told him what to do. And because of his obedience, everybody walked through. You see, when you listen to the voice of God, when you're going through a storm, it's not just affecting you, but it affects everybody around you. Because people are watching on how you react. Now, what would have happened if our old buddy there, Moses, if he didn't obey God? I mean, there would have been a mess. There would have been, you know, history would have changed. But God had a plan. You see, when we're obedient to God, things change. When we listen to him, things get turned around. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. All praise to God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is so merciful, Father, and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. So even you, though you might be going through something, God's going to comfort you so you can be a blessing to someone else. Because, I mean, a lot of times you really don't feel like hanging out with people when things are going bad. You ever reach your people limit? I have a people limit, you know? And there's certain times when I will hit that people limit. I'm not a fan of shopping malls because there's a lot of people there, right? I like people, you know, but I don't like a lot of people all the time, just, you know, kind of up in your grill, up in your space, doing stuff that I don't like. It aggravates me a little bit. So I get my people limit. So like Kendra's like, hey, let's go shopping. I'm like, let's not. You know, let's not do that. I said, you can go do it. No, but you need to go, you need a new shirt or something. I'm like, okay, you know. And we'll go through and, you know. But then you get in there and I start hanging out with my wife and start talking. And, you know, we start joking about stuff. And then it's not so bad, right? You start changing your attitude a little bit. But I still don't like malls. This is what Amazon. Yeah, I know, right? Isn't that wonderful? God shows us mercy and gives us comfort. Even in our time of sorrow, he is there. And not only comforts us, but also gives us the ability to comfort others when they are hurting also. I remember one instance when we had lost someone in our family, and then someone that we know lost someone in their family. Well, we're grieving, and they're grieving. But you know, we were still be able to go and minister and help out that people. Why? Because I got God on the inside of me. Right? And I remember that very vividly because I'm like, oh man, I don't feel like being, but you don't go by how you feel. You go by what the Word of God says. Right? And so God's going to use you when you don't feel like you can be used by God. Some of the most amazing things will take place when you just don't feel like it. You know? God's got a crazy sense of humor like that. When you just don't feel like being a people person or ministering to somebody, he's going to give you an opportunity to go and change the world. To change someone's life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, things will happen. Things will change. You'll connect with people when you least expect it. You know? It's funny. You know, even when you're on vacation and you're supposed to be off, you're still on. God will put people in your path that you get the opportunity to talk to and minister to. Someone that you can comfort and give a word of encouragement to, and you not even realize it. Come on now. See, God likes changing things around. He doesn't want people to be down and out all the time. He wants people up and full of joy and blessed, amen? Because that's what the world is full of that stuff. The world is full of confusion and depression and angry, and it's just yuck. It's too much division. But we, as believers, and as the body of Christ, we're supposed to be building one another up. We're supposed to be coming together and doing something together. We're supposed to be an encouragement to one another. Even though we're going through stuff, everybody's going through stuff. Everyone goes through a storm. Everybody faces a mountain sometimes. But it's up to us if we're going to allow God to help guide us or if we're going to try and figure it out on our own. But I don't know, but I'd rather have God guide my path the way I'm supposed to go. I'd rather listen, you know. Sometimes I'm going to go kicking and screaming, not going to lie. Because sometimes we like to be in control and figure things out on our own, you know. Anybody here like to be in control? Like when you're, anybody a backseat driver? When your spouse is driving, you are giving instructions on how to drive. Anybody, don't, come on, raise your hands, don't lie, this is church. Because I know y'all in here. Yeah, I see those hands. Yeah, Monique, put that hand up. There you go, Glenda, Mama, yeah. Kendra, put your hand up. You should be jumping for joy. Because I'm the exact same way too, it's horrible. In our car, we got to install 2 steering wheels. One for each of us. Oh, boy. But, you know, it's something about that, you know? It's like, I'm scared. When Kendra drives, she scares the living daylights out of me. And she's not a horrible driver. It's that she doesn't drive the way that I drive. She's just, you know, I'm the best driver there is, and she's just not at my level. Right? And I mean, the way she interacts with other drivers and stuff sometimes, the way she, it's just not the way I would do it. Right? And so therefore, you know, I'm that backseat driver and wanting to be in control. And I got a hard time sometimes when she's driving. So when she's driving, I've realized my coping mechanism, because you got to have a coping mechanism, is that I'm searching Marketplace on Facebook. So it could get expensive when she drives because I'm buying things. No. No. Not very often. Sometimes. Just close my eyes. But, you know, it's a control thing in that sense, is that, you know, as humans, we like to be in control of certain situations, right? But sometimes we just got to sit back and let the pilot take control. Sometimes you just got to sit back and let God lead the way, right? You know? Sometimes you just got to sit there and be a passenger princess. That's the new term, right? I'm going to struggle with that, not going to lie. But it's something that I have to learn, is that I got to, okay, she's driving, she's in control of the vehicle. All right, fine and dandy. Lord, take the wheel too, please. You know? I can't be the only one that goes through that. I know that. All right, here's the next one here. The second part, and the other part of this verse here says, you have taken my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. So sackcloth mourning clothes, which was worn as a token of mourning by the Israelites. Now, it's also a sign of submission. And we see this in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 20. We won't go there. It also represents the grief and self-humiliation. And it was occasionally worn by the prophets. So, sackcloth, or mourning clothes, you know, it's, people know that you're going through something. You're visibly wearing something. You're showing how you feel on the inside, on the outside, you know? Now, some people you can look at, and they're not necessarily wearing mourning clothes, but you could tell that they're going through something. You know, they're not wearing sackcloth, got ashes thrown on their head or whatever, but you can tell they're going through something. Well, but it says here in our passage of Scripture, in Psalms chapter 30, that you have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. You see, the situation still might be there, but the Lord has taken away your mourning, the bad stuff that you're going through. He's taken away that emotion, that feeling. It might still be there, you might feel, but he's taken it away, and he's made a way for us to have joy. So again, I ask the question, how many joyful people do I have in here this morning? And are you joyful because I'm asking you to be joyful, or are you joyful because you got the Lord on the inside? Because you got to have the Lord. You got to allow him to move through you and work through you. Come on now. It is so good to see that God will trade our mourning into joy. Because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. It says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you don't know how you're going to get through it, get happy. When you're facing a big situation, get happy. Because that's when things start changing. I mean, things are so much worse when you're sad and depressed. Oh, I gotta go pay bills. Oh, there goes the paycheck. Oh, and Kendra's driving. No, Lord, I thank you that you blessed me so I can go pay these things, that we can enjoy life. Father, I thank you I'm being chauffeured around by my fine wife. Father, I thank you all these things, Lord, that you're supplying for me, you're taking care of me and my family, that we have more than enough. Come on now. What's a better way to go? Right? Or woo! Come on. It's time to get a little excited. It's the way we change things up, man. There's too many doom and gloom Christians out there. Oh, woe is me. Oh, Lord is putting me through this, or I'm going through that. No, 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 no. You're putting yourself there. The Lord wants to turn you around. The Lord wants to change things up in your life. The Lord wants you blessed, newsflash. He sent Jesus to die on the cross so you can be healed, because you are healed, because it belongs to you. He wants you blessed. The Bible tells us that our Heavenly Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's a lot of cow. You know what the price of beef is these days? My good. Me and Ben walked in the Safeway last night and we looked at one roast. $156 for a roast. I was like, Lord, I am not designed to be vegan or vegetarian. That is not what I am called to do. I am a meat-atarian. I eat meat. But $156? Satan, get out of that price tag right now. Woo-wee. You know? So you think about the price of beef. And even back then, when the Bible was talking about that, you own all that cattle, you're well off. So how much more is our Father taking care of us as he's got it all? For heaven's sakes, the place where he lives, the streets are paved with gold. Come on now. He walks on gold. Right? Amen. Our God's got more than enough. And guess what? Because he's our Heavenly Father, we have more than enough. Are you listening to me? All right, this guy crowd is kind of getting it. This guy's, oh man. Guys, stretch your hands over here. No. Our God is a God of more than enough. Do you believe that? He makes a way. He provides. Even though the beef might be $156 for a roast, Lord have mercy. Tariffs. No. We'll blame something on it. You know? Too much smoke in the air or something. I don't know. What are they going to come up with? But come on. God is going to supply for you anyway. Amen? God's going to look after you. Woo! Thank you, Father. Now, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So that must mean that we must have some strong people in here. Right? How many joyful people we got? Well, then you are strong. That is the strength. You got the strength of the Lord. Come on now. And we've all seen what happens when the strength of the Lord gets into action. Come on now. Samson? Something like myself. What are y'all laughing at? A fine physical specimen of a human being. This is peak athletic form here. The dad bod. Come on now. Oh yeah. That's the $156 steak. No. Yeah, right. Oh, boy. Come on. When Samson, yeah, he done messed up. He had strength, lost his strength because he got his hair cut. Some of you guys don't cut your hair. No. Some of you guys too late. But then, when he got back around, made things right, he done what he was supposed to do. Now, it cost him a lot, but he was still strong. And he done exactly what the Lord told intended need to be happen. Right? Super strong. You know who else was strong? I thought it was pretty cool when I was thinking about this, is when David was a young shepherd boy. And you know, we always thought about strength as muscles and that type of stuff, but there's different ways to be strong, right? And young David, he was a little lad, and he was the youngest out of Jesse's bunch, and he was tending to the sheep while all of his big brothers were gone to war. They're the ones that are supposed to have been strong. But you see, the strength that David had was in the Lord. And that when it was his time to go out and bring the little lunch and the snack, the meal, the basket of food that his father had prepared to give to the commander of the the unit that his brothers were in, of the army, and bring some snacks to his brothers. When he showed up there, and they seen what was happening, here are these mighty men that are supposed to be warriors, and they're hiding. Well, what'd the little shepherd guy do? I can take them. Sounds like my Timmy. It sounds like something Timothy would do, you know? But yeah, this David, he showed up and he's like, I can take him. Well, what do you mean you can take him? You're only a boy. What can you do? Oh, but I know something else. He said, I took the lion and I took the bear. And God was with me then and he's going to be with me now when I take out Goliath. And only with a few little smooth stones and a sling, he took out that big old giant now, didn't he? And he defeated that giant. You see, in his own strength, you look at that, and you know that, don't think you're going to do it, little buddy. But when God was fighting with you, when you're acting on the things of God, the giant's got to fall. Right? Come on now. The Lord's strength it's amazing. So the joy of the Lord is your strength. So when you got the Lord's strength, there's nothing you can't conquer. There's nothing you can't overcome. The walls of Jericho, they come down. People marched around there and they used their voices and yelled. And the city walls came down. You see, sometimes we got to change what we're saying and what we're thinking and what we're believing. And some walls in our lives are going to come down. Because if we just look at that and be like, oh boy, that's a big mountain. That's a big wall. How am I going to get through that? How am I going to face that? No, you got to be like, haha, you're coming down, buddy. You belong to me. You're mine because God said so. I am not being kept away from the promises that God has for my life. See, when you change your confession, you start getting a little bit loud. See, the devil absolutely hates it when believers start talking about the things that belongs to them. And when Christians start realizing on who they are and what Christ has done for them, well, then he knows he's in trouble because he's going to get his tail whipped. Let me tell you something. You guys are blessed. The Bible tells us we all spiritual blessings belong to us. Everything. It all belongs to us. So when you think about that and you really get that on the inside of you, you're healed, healthy, whole, blessed, and prosperous. Because it all belongs to you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You have the authority of the believer. You are blessed. You're full of faith. You have the joy of the Lord. Your body is made well. It all belongs to you. And once people start getting an understanding of who they are in Christ, the devil hates it. Now he's going to try and come at you and be like, no, that's all lies. Who do you think you are? You're supposed to be sad and depressed. Look what you're going through. But you got to remind the devil, ha, ha, ha. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I can get through this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am not defeated. You do not dictate to me my life anymore, buddy. A lot of times, believers allow Satan to dominate their lives when he has no legal right to do that. Because as people who belong to Christ, Satan has no legal right to dominate you, only if we allow him to. Are you listening to me this morning? So therefore, we have to change the way we think, the things that we talk about, and the way we react to certain situations. And that's why if we want God to trade these things that we have, our ugly things, and give us something so much more, is that we have to know that God has these things for us. Because if we don't know what belongs to us, how can we get them? You know? You can have a billionaire uncle overseas, and he passed away, and in your will, he leaves you everything. But if you don't know that it belongs to you, what good is it to you? Right? It's still yours, and it's there, but if you don't know that it belongs to you, so how do you figure it out? Well, you have to be notified, or you have to do some digging out or figure something out that it belongs to you. But when it comes to the things of God, it's all in his word. It's all written in this Bible, in his holy word, what belongs to me and you. We just got to crack it open and see what's in there and start using it. You know you're blessed, right? You, You know you're healed, right? You're set free, delivered? Come on, that's who you are. You're blessed to be a blessing? Out of an abundance you'll give? Come on now. Woo! You're blessed. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
All right, let's keep going here. I mean, we only got 7 more hours of stuff to go through. We're okay. All right. Wow. Now, when we get the trade that we wanted, we intend to get a little excited. I know when that lady, when she traded and she finally got to that house, she was super excited. I mean, she put a lot of work in. It took some time for her to get to that. You know, this is a big project of hers, right? It took a lot of time to do this. Well, I mean, when this happens to us, we're going to end up getting a little excited. In our text, in Psalms 30, verse 12, last part, there says, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks forever. You see, this is something that this is a very important part, because he's taken away our sorrow and give us joy. Right? He's given us excitement. He's given us what we need there. But now, because those old things have passed away, we have these new things. It's sometimes easy to forget when things are going good that God made a way for us. Sometimes we can forget about how the blessing came. We have to continually, everyone say continually, give thanks to the Lord. Because if we want things to stay stuck around, we need to continue thinking about the things of God. Because it all goes together. We got to have a heart always full of thanksgiving and gratitude to the Father. Because he is the one who loves us, who cares for us, and our job is to thank him for it. Doesn't sound too difficult now, does it? I think that's a pretty fair trade-off, is that when the Lord blesses us, thank you. And continually, man, you're doing good. Yeah, I mean, God is blessing me and my family. Come on now. How you doing, Pastor Steve? I'm doing great. The Lord's blessing us. I just thank him every day. Come on now. Sometimes we forget that God is a major piece of the equation on why you're where you're at, right? I know sometimes it might seem a little superficial, but I like it when I see like athletes and movie stars and singers and stuff, and they win an award, and the first one they say is, I want to thank God. You might say, well, you know, they're just saying that. No, some of them, they're very serious about that. Dabbled in the music industry just a little bit, and I know some singers, and I know some people, and I talked to some guys that I grew up with, and now they're whatever. And they're not necessarily in the gospel vein, but they're still producing music. But you know what? They still thank God for the talents and the abilities and where God has blessed them. And it's taken them, you know? And I mean, could be still a little carnal there a little bit and got to grow up spiritually a little bit, but we're not judging that. The thing is that we have to have a heart of gratitude. We have to be thankful to the Lord, for he is good. That he blesses. He provides. And he makes sure that we're taken care of, that we have more than enough. So, I am happy that God made a way that I can get rid of my yuckiness, the things that I don't want anymore in my life, and he can trade me for something so much better. Amen? And you know, I don't have to pay extra. You know, you go to some stores, you know, I want to trade this in and get a newer version. Okay, well, then you got to pay the difference. Well, the debt was already paid when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus' blood paid that. So we get free upgrades. That's right. It all gets changed. Wouldn't it be nice to walk into like one of the cell phone stores and be like, I want the newest phone. You got like an iPhone 2. I want the 16 Super Max Pro double wide. You know, it's like, you want all this. I want, you know, okay, no problem. What? You know, that'd be kind of cool. But it doesn't work that way. They're like, okay. That will be $17,000, please. Right? But when it comes to God, it's like, God, all I got is this, you know, anxiety and fear. No problem, I'll take it. How's joy and unconditional peace work? Perfect. I'll take it. Hey? Such a good deal, man. Well, how much do I need to pay you for this? You know what? Jesus already covered it. It's taken care of. Just thank me for it. I'll do that. Amen? Oh, that's so good right there. The great exchange that we're talking about is definitely in our favor when we trade things. You know, God is not willing to trade you for something ugly. He wants to take your ugly and give you something better. Amen. He's willing to trade for all that junk that's in your life that you don't want and you don't need and replace it with amazing things. So what's some other things that God has exchanged for us? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, it shows us that he took our unrest and he gave us peace. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation, the Lord will be with you. Do you know what? With all the craziness that's happening in the world right now, you think God is sat on the throne with the home alone face? No. You think he's stressing out up there and he's all concerned about, you know, all that stuff, you know, just totally a bag of nerves. You think God's up there like that? God's up there and he's just like, silly humans, right? He's not stressing out. He goes, you guys are being silly, but I got a better plan. But he's given us his peace. So, I mean, we get concerned about our lives. And in the grand scheme of things, when you look at what God could be concerned about, stressing out about, compared to what we can stress out about, there's no fair comparison. But yet the peace that God has, he's given to us. So he's taken away our unsettlement and give us his peace. Wow. Here's another one in Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Well, we were unprotected, but he gave us protection. Come on now, that's good. All right, what else has he done? John 3, 16 to 18. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him will already be judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. We were once lost, but now we're found. We have salvation. He took away our lostness and gave us salvation. We were rescued, plucked out of the mire, out of a dark, dark, broken world. That's cool. Romans 8:32. Look at this one. God did not spare even his own Son, but gave him up for us all. Won't he also give us everything else? God provides for our lack. He took our lack. He gave us more than enough. If he sent Jesus to save us, he's not going to hold nothing else back. Oh, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Get through it with God. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. God, make a way. But you better be doing something. You better be working with them, not against them. Don't be sitting on your duff all day and wondering how God's going to bless you. You get up and do something so then God can bless you through what you're doing. There's many times people, we come across situations like this. Well, I'm believing God. You know, I'm believing for that. Check's in the mail. Oh, yeah, so what do you do for that? Oh, nothing. Give God something to work with. Because you just can't sit down all day long and expect God to bless you when you're too lazy to do anything for yourself. Allow God to work through you while you're doing something. Go out and be a blessing to someone else. You'll be amazed on how the blessings return. How many of you witnessed that in your life? That when you do something and you bless somebody, it comes back to you. And not in the ways that you expect either. It always comes back different ways. And when you least expect it, you know, God makes a way. Right? I mean, it's so wonderful to see how God does that. I told my Bible school students this story in Bible school. And some of you guys have probably heard it when we were at Rhema. You know, in Bible college. And, I mean, Bible school student. Oh, buddy. I mean, we are mighty people of faith because we're Bible school students, right? We're sitting in service one day, and we're international students. We're not allowed to work, so we're living on a bit of a tight budget at that time. And me and Kendra were there, and my parents were there at that time as well. And my grandma was there. It was Kendra, myself, and it was this gentleman stood next to me and the whole row of people. We were up in the back of the church. So praise and worship was just rocking. Oh, man, it was so good. So we're all in. We're just praising, singing, you know, getting all into it. And then Pastor Hagen gets up. It's prayer time. And he said, okay, if you're in this place and you got a prayer request. That's a pretty horrible thing, but I'm going to do it anyway. He goes, I want you to raise your hand. If you got a need in your life, raise your hand. So this guy stood next to me. He raised his hand. Right? And so he kind of put hands all up all over the place. And he said, now the rest of you in this congregation, you see these hands, you go lay hands on them, you pray for them. I'm a Bible school student. I got this. I mean, I have been trained for this very moment. So I turned to my brother here and I said, sir, I said, what's your need? What can I pray for? He said, I'm just believing for some gas money for my truck so I can get to work in the morning. Praise God. Well, buddy, I started praying. And a lot of people around him, too, we laid hands on him. Father God, we thank you that money's coming in for this gentleman. Father, we thank you money is coming. That he's going to have more than enough. That someone's going to come and going to give him gas money that he needs for his truck so he can go to work. Father, we thank you. Devil, you get your hands off his money. Ministering angels, go get his money. And I mean, we're loosening and binding and casting and doing all this stuff. I'm telling you, it was a pretty good prayer. It was pretty mint. Now, I'm sitting pretty proud that morning because I happen to have $40 American sitting in my pocket. Remember, I'm a Bible school student. You know, we're from Canada. We don't have a lot of extra money to be going around, but this day I had $40. Wow. American. That's like $7,000 Canadian today. I was like, wow. So, prayer time was done. And music starts up again. And I cannot get into it. Not one little bit. Like, man, what's going on? Kendra's over here and she's all like, you know, big guy over here. He's, and me, I'm just like, I was like, Lord, what's going on? Like, oh, I can't. I was just, he's like, Steve, give the guy the money. I said, devil, shut up. And this went on for quite some time. Steve, give the guy the money. On the inside of me, still small voice. Praise and worship's getting wilder. What am I doing? And I'm telling you, it keeps going. Steve, give the guy the money. And I'm serious. Get out of my head. Nope. Get it. Devil, you know. No. Devil, shut up. And this is going on. This is going on for almost 10 minutes, this argument. And then finally, Steve, give the guy the money. I'm a little slow sometimes, and Kendra will tell you. I'm stubborn. And I was like, okay, all right, I'm missing out. Okay, just whatever. So I turned to the guy, and he's there all worshipy. And I tapped him on the shoulder, and he looked at me. He goes, hey. And I said, here, I'm supposed to give this to you. And I turned. And it was just like a ton of bricks lifted off of me. And I had the most intense time with God right then and there. Now, he was all excited because he got his tank filled. I'd say he did, $7,000 Canadian. Right? He got his tank filled. He got to go to work. 2 weeks later, I need to get work done on my car. I got a check wrote to me for the money that it cost to get my car fixed.
Praise the Lord.
2 weeks later, I need to get brakes done. Now, what would have happened if I wouldn't have listened?
That $40.
That $40 wouldn't have gone very far. You know? But you think about that. That's a funny little story, I know. But when you allow God, when you start listening to God, even though I was being dumb and arguing with him, he still allowed me and still continued, Steve, you trust me, you need to do this. You need to do this, Steve. Steve, give the guy the money. Steve, you know? The Lord is, he's good at trying to get your attention. You just got to be paying attention. And see, when you pay attention to the Lord, he's going to make a way. So there you go. Right? I mean, it could have been a lot worse for me. But I came out on top. You know? It cost me $40 that I had in my pocket. But it turned out that I got my car fixed and got me nothing out of my pocket to fix that. Because God prepared a way out of an abundance. Right? That's how God works. God took my lack and blessed me. Right? Because I was obedient. So I would have been in lack, trust me. God cares. Philippians 4:19, and in the same, this is the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Amen? How many blessed people we got in here? Come on, how many blessed people we got in here? That's good. And I'll leave you with one more here. You know, he's also taken away our sickness and disease, and he's given us healing and divine health. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that when he died to sin and lived for what is right, by his wounds you are healed. Woo! Now, let me tell you, you might have some ailments in your body, but the Word of God says you're healed. So you stand on what the Word of God says. Amen? You believe what the Word says. If the Word says you're blessed, then you're
blessed.
If the Word says you're healed,
healed.
If the Word says that you're protected, then you're
protected.
Come on now. I think we got something to be excited about.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I don't want those ugly things in my life no more. I want to be walking in the things of God. I want to have those blessings that God has for me. I want to have more than enough so I can be a blessing to other people around me. Music team, you can come up. I want to be blessed so I can be a blessing to others. You know what? I want to be healed. I am healed because I got a lot of things I need to do. And I can't do what I need to do when I'm home sick in bed. Are you listening to me this morning? I don't want to be full of fear and anxiety and be crippled to go out and do things. But rather, I want the joy and peace in my life. I want the joy of the Lord as my strength this morning.
Amen.
Everyone stand to your feet. Come on. We got something to be thankful this morning. That God has made a great exchange with us. We've done a great trade. That he's taken our mourning and turned it into dancing. We're no longer bound by sorrow and sickness and disease and sadness and lack and poverty. But yet we are full of peace and joy and love. And we have more of it than we ever know what to do with. I like the word abundant. Because when you have an abundance of something, you have more than what you need. You have over what you need. Right? How many of you like to be abundant? How many of you want your life to be abundant? That you can do things. That you can help people. That you can love people. Have joy. You can have an abundance of joy. You can have an abundance of love. You can have an abundance of peace. When people look at you and be like, man, you're going through a crazy situation. How are you so calm? Lord, how do you love everybody? It's difficult. No, it's the Lord. You can have an abundance of health. Amen? Come on, stretch your hands towards heaven and just thank the Lord in this place right now. Just thank him for all the things that he's taken away and given you better. Come on, let's just thank him for a few moments. He's the way maker. You know, you business owners in here, when you do business for the kingdom, you're going to be blessed. When you do kingdom business, you're going to be blessed. The Lord just downloaded that, just gave me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. When you go after the things of God first in your life, God's going to make sure that you are well taken care of and that you got more than enough. Ha 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 ha.